Well, good morning all. I should have said at the beginning of Mass, the theme of the Mass is all about love. I felt like singing, you know, the Beatles, all you need is love. It's all about that today, really. At the Levis Mass on Friday, the readings chosen were St. Paul's image of the body of Christ made up of many parts, all with something to contribute by way of gifts or skills to the common good. And the Gospel was the parable of the talents and the need to use them in the Master's service. And in my homily, I pointed out that when the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles at Pentecost, it wasn't, you know, like a huge flame above them all, but really as individual tongues of fire on the head of each one of them. Why? Because, of course, we're all different. So we will all be inspired to use our gifts in different ways. Each of us is unique, but as well as being unique, we know that we have to relate to other people. No man's an island, we don't exist in isolation. We need others. A baby cries, you know, when its mother leaves the room. A lover is devastated by a breakup. Parents worry when a child leaves home for the first time. And just recently, a couple of weeks ago, I visited an elderly lady whose husband just died that day. And we had to meet in a strange room in the home because she just couldn't bear to go back into the lounge that they always used to sit in together. And since then, she's actually moved to another nursing home altogether, you know, away from painful memories. As I said earlier, you know, we are all relational beings. And the Holy Trinity teaches us that God is the relational being, three unique persons in one God, totally interrelated and dependent on each other. But what's important for us, and the reason why this mystery sort of underlines the whole of our faith, is that one of these persons, Christ, became human. So it means that we and every other human being are part of that relationship, part of that Trinitarian relationship, as adopted sons and daughters of the Father and sisters and brothers of the Son. And that's why, you know, when Jesus starts to teach about love God, love your neighbor, he's really stating the blindingly obvious. That's why we must love one another. There's a little bit of God in each one of us. God is love. And since we are created in God's image and likeness, to be human means to love. The greatest power on earth is love. And without it, we are not truly human. The same love that binds the three persons of the Trinity in unity gives us our true value. And it transforms us as well. Over the years, you know, we talk about the mystery of the Trinity, and over the years, great minds have tried to work out how there can be three persons in one God, in this kind of way, you know, you might try to work out a mathematical problem. But actually, there's no need. Just look at what actually happens. We all know how a father and son, a mother and daughter, a husband and wife, have to operate if they are going to have any chance of achieving the closest unity they can. They actually need a third element in their relationship, which they can rely on at all times to make it happen. And that, of course, is love. If love is the constant motivating force between them, binding them together, it becomes almost the third person in their relationship, without which they would just be two people sharing the same house. And in the Trinity, the Father and the Son are so totally wrapped up in love for each other that their love actually becomes the third person in their relationship, love personified, otherwise known as the Holy Spirit. And love changes everything, we say. So when Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home in him," he's offering to transform us then, to take hold of our lives, our worries, our sinfulness, our guilt even, our low esteem if we have that, and reveal to us the true beauty of our personality, which we may have long forgotten about as we've gone through all the vicissitudes of life, you know, that we are still loved, that we are still treasured by God. How does he do that? How does God do that? Well, we have to think in terms that we understand. So you could kind of say that as creator or father, he shares in the joy of parents who co-create life with him. He also shares in the joys of the inventor, the artist who imagines, the researcher who discovers, the child who marvels at new things. As saviour or son, he rejoices with the family whose child has been redeemed from drug addiction or bad behavior, or the sinner who just comes back. As Holy Spirit or Inspirer, he shares in our decision making, the anxiety we may feel when having to choose what is the right or best course of action. So, to sum up, we could say that God in three persons is constantly in touch with the many different modes and facets of our unique personality. He also understands the weakness of our human condition probably better than we do ourselves. And it's very interesting that today's feast is not part of the Easter season. You would have thought, you know, it would be the glory of God, three persons in one, after the triumphant resurrection, Pentecost, etc. But it's actually part of ordinary time. And it's deliberate, that, because it shows that it's part of our daily life. It's not a mystery left to theologians to sort out. God, far from being distant from us, is with us always, loving, leading, guiding, and giving us the strength to carry on until the day when all this will be over and we'll be totally enveloped by him in his all-embracing love in the kingdom of heaven.